This is David Soselsky, Southern Oral History Program, University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. This is another in the Listening for a Change series. It's May 20th, 1999. Today I'm in Raleigh, visiting with Emma Crawford. Okay. Every once in a while, I'm going to be looking at it to make sure that it's working right.
That's right.
Every once in a while, I'm going to be looking at the tape, at the tape recorder to make sure it's
Well, you do whatever. Okay.
Can I leave
you're
it?
Supposed to do, and I'll do whatever I can.
Okay. Can I leave it right there?
That's what.
Can I leave it right there?
Yeah.
Okay. Ms. Crawford, when were you born?
In 1892.
And where were you born?
In Alamance County.
Who were your people? Where did who were your mother and father?
This one.
What were your mother and father's names?
Well, my father's name was Alfred Linden Newland. Mm-hmm. And my mother was Sally Perry Dorsett.
And they were farmers?
They what?
They were farmers?
They were farmers.
What was the community like that you grew up in?
What was the what now?
What was the community like where you grew up in?
Well, it was country. We were in the country, and we had, we had not too close to neighbors, but we had nice neighbors, and we lived about a mile from the village of Swepsonville. Mm-hmm. And that was a little... little mill village, nice little mill village built by the Ashby Vickers, some of the richest people that lived in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. And they'd come up there, they had a summer home up there, and they would come and spend part of the summer up there in this little village.
Mm-hmm. And your mama and your mother and father farmed? You grew up on a farm?
He grew up on the farm, and we had a dairy farm. Now, if you're thinking about things that happened in the past, it's interesting to know how that dairy was taken care of?
Oh, yes.
Well, I grew up in a family of, there was five girls and one boy, and we had a dairy farm, and we had 12 cows. We girls did all the milking. There was no machines then. Mm-hmm. And our refrigerator was 6 feet down in the ground. And when we milked, then we strained the milk into about 5 gallon jars. Mm-hmm. There was no strainers. We had to use a cheesecloth to strain the milk in. Mm-hmm. And then we had to put it down in this basement until the cream came to the top. And then we brought it up and churned to make the butter. And it was a churn. It would hold about 15 gallons of milk. And it had a handle at both ends. And one person could do it. It was in kind of a frame. But anyway, it would take a lot of cream to make maybe, say, 2 pounds of butter, something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, we sold the butter for 20 cents a pound, and my father would take 2 gallons of buttermilk to the little village of Swepsonville for 10 cents a gallon. And at that time, he'd pick up the News and Observer. We had to get a good mile to get the News and Observer. And, that was our way of making money, was just that dairy. And when we had to, of course, my father and brother were busy making feed for the cattle and everything. But anyway, that was the story of the...
So did the girls do all the...
We did all the milking.
You did the milking, the churning? Yeah. Did you turn the butter too?
You don't turn it. You'd swing that in the thing. Yes, that's the way we made the butter.
And the girls did that?
The girls did all that. And then mother would take care of the butter. And my father always was anxious for it. I think he could have had a butter mold in that probably the people over. But she was a very honest person. And so she had her own thing that she did a beautiful little thing that she'd put the butter on and then she'd shape it and then turn it out. And even people as far as Graham, the larger place, the people that they drove a wagon from Saxapahoe to Swepsonville, I mean to Graham, carrying the cotton, and they'd stop by home and get the butter sometime. Anyway, one time, there was a certain kind of feed that we had to buy. They called it chip stuff. And so that was right expensive. So mother felt like maybe she ought to have 25 cents per pound for her butter. So she apologized to the people that she had to pay a little bit more for the chip stuff.
And growing up as a girl... In that day, how would that have been different than a girl? How was growing up as a girl different when you were young than today? Do you think?
Well, it was different. Now, of course, there was a lot of girls that were older. I was next to the youngest, and I had three older sisters. And of course they had sweethearts, and they would have parties out at our home. And one was the candy pulling. Mother would fix it, get ready for them to pull, and they'd all do that, make candy. And that was one of the fun things that they did. And then in the summertime, we'd have ice cream parties. And they were very, very cautious of our company, you know. And I think that probably they laugh at me when I say that they, boys and girls, I don't think they were always kissing. I think they thought that maybe that wasn't quite the right thing to do. And when my husband went off to war, my sister couldn't understand why I didn't kiss him goodbye. And I don't reckon I'd ever had kissed a boy in my whole life. But anyway.
And why didn't you kiss him? It was just not the kind of...
wasn't the custom. Just wasn't the custom to do it. Nice girls just didn't kiss.
Were you were already very fond of him, though.
This what?
You were already very fond of him when he went to war.
Yes, and we were married when he came back after a while. We were married, and then he came to Raleigh to take a business course. We had worked together for a while, and so he, Mr. Baker owned a lumber company here. That were nephew of the ones that owned the mill in Swepsonville.
Okay.
And he asked, he had met George, and he said, he'd like for him to come to Raleigh and take the place of somebody that was going to go on vacation. So he did. So then he told him, he says, I'm not trying to influence you, but if you'd come here and work with us, you'd learn just as much as you would to finish your business course at King's Business College. And so that's what he did, and he worked for him a long, 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 long time.
Are there times, I'll try to speak louder, are there times, what are the times when you look way back?
What are
there times when you look way back to that you remember as being especially happy in your life, in your childhood?
Especially what?
especially happy in your childhood?
Oh, yes, definitely. I remember going to, right recently, I went to this school, and the children were anxious to know about the things that we had and so forth and so on. And one little fellow says, "I don't think you had much of anything." And in the end, I said, "Now, children, you think I didn't have very much of anything, but we were all happy. And you want to know why? Because we loved each other." Mm-hmm. So that was the way that. Yes, we all worked together, and we had only one brother, and never in my whole life did I hear him ever say an unkind word to us girls or mother. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What other kinds of chores did the girls do?
What kind of chores
did the girls do besides the dairy?
Well, we had of course, that was the main thing. That mm-hmm. took a lot of our time because we had to, Mother was very particular about the food that she had for her cattle. And lots of times, especially in the wintertime, the shucks from the corn. We would have to pull those away from that little nub that was on there, mm-hmm. and then Mother would fix us a bucket of warm salt water, and we'd have to do that, and that takes some time to get the food for the next day for the cattle. And then we had to do all the house cleaning, and we did have a large house, mm-hmm. and we had to do all the cleaning, and then we had no electricity, so we had to use lamps, and they had to be kept clean and kept filled with oil. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have an awful lot of extra time, but maybe in the afternoon we would always look forward. But at first we didn't have any rural delivery, but then when we did, then we'd have a little time, whatever. Mother subscribed to a certain kind of good magazine for us, and we'd have a little time sitting by the fire and reading for a while, but then it wasn't too long because we had to help with the cooking and the mm-hmm. dishes. Mm-hmm. So we all learned to cook under Mother's care.
And what kind of food did you cook?
What kind of food? Mm-hmm. Well, we had...
What were your favorites?
Well, we had good food all the time. For breakfast, we didn't always have ham because mm-hmm. we had to sell the hams to really make some money. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we'd have the other and anyway, we'd always have a good breakfast of hot biscuits and some kind of meat and gravy and occasionally eggs. Mm.
And for dinner or supper?
Well, for dinner we had vegetables. We raised all of our food. For dinner we'd have all kind of vegetables. Mm-hmm. And Mother always had some kind of a pie, maybe a pumpkin pie, apple pie, mm-hmm. but we always had good food, mm-hmm. and even though we didn't have a lot of things, we never thought about being poor. It was just a natural way of life, and we had a good life. Mm-hmm. We had a good life.
So you were growing up in the 1890s. You were a little girl in the 1890s, or early 1900s. Would you call them prosperous times? Would you have called them prosperous times, or more depression times?
Well, I would say prosperous times.
Mm-hmm. And people had money.
They didn't have much money. No, there's not. I have wondered lots of times how my people were able to do the things that they did. Mm-hmm. The only money-making thing that we had outside of the dairy was we had a small crop of cotton. Mm-hmm. And so that's Mm-hmm. Mostly, there wasn't a lot of money, but I think people lived good. I never knew of anybody just real poor of our neighbors. We're just plain country people, mm-hmm. with a good country-style life. Mm-hmm. And there was not a lot you needed to spend your money for. Of course, we had to have clothing.
Right.
And then coffee and sugar, but was about the only thing that Mother ever bought from the store. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what were your brothers and sisters' names?
Their names? Mm-hmm. Well,
and anything?
Just their first name.
Whatever.
Well, my oldest sister was Willie, then Maggie, and Bertha, and Bob was my brother, and Lucille was one of my sisters.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a brother or sister that you were closest to?
And what?
Was there one that you were closest to?
I can't think of it. I mean, I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. I just knew I loved them, and we were there together, and mm-hmm. that was always necessary.
Mm-hmm. Are you the last one?
This what?
Are you the last one?
Last one.
You are. To do it. The others have passed.
Most my family are pretty long lived. Most of them. Now, Mother was just 70 when she went. That was about the youngest of. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm.
The others lived had long lives.
As well.
The others had long lives. They lived a long time.
Yeah.
Yes. Were there, do you remember especially sad times? Do you remember especially sad times from when you were a little girl?
No, I didn't quite get that.
Were there unhappy times?
Unhappy times?
That you remember when you were little? Things that, when,
Well, of course, everything wasn't always happy, but I think the happiness outweighed the sorrow. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of things that have happened that we had some illnesses, you know, and different things like that, but I don't never remember any real bad mm-hmm. accident.
Mm-hmm. What kind of illnesses would people have, like typhoid fever or cholera or what kinds of things?
Diseases, you mm-hmm. mean? Well, they had typhoid fever for one thing. I remember that. My oldest sister was going with a friend that they corresponded, and they always. I think this was sort of a superstitious thing, but they always said to burn that letter. Mm. Mm. Now, that might have been just superstition, but anybody did have typhoid fever, and the only thing that I ever remembered, there was a certain medicine called quinine, and they used that.
For malaria, right? For malaria?
Yes, what?
For malaria?
Yeah.
I think, to do it. Was your family very political? Was your family very political?
Did you say very collective?
No, very political.
Oh, political.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
I was going in and getting the News Observer made me think that they might be.
My father was a Democrat, mm-hmm. and so I married a Republican.
Uh-oh.
But I still voted a Democratic ticket, and he voted his.
Uh-huh.
So we'd vote and kill each other's vote every time.
And do you remember what were the big political issues?
What?
Do you remember what were the big political issues when you were little?
Well, I can't think of anything. Of course, my father was the only one that, and mother that could uh-huh. vote, you know, at that time. And
I understand one of your sisters, your daughter told me that one of your sisters was involved in the, was a suffragist, was
what were my sisters involved in?
What was one of, was a suffragist?
Yes, what?
A suffragist for the, getting the vote for women? Was active in getting the vote for women?
I don't think they were active in it.
Oh, okay.
They were probably interested in it, but they had no part in it.
Oh, okay. Okay. So when did you move to Raleigh?
In 1922.
And what was Raleigh like when you moved here?
Well, you'd call it a small town. It was, nothing compared to it today. It was much smaller, and the only shopping place we had was downtown, Fayetteville Street. That was the only shopping place we had, and of course, it led from there, Newbern Avenue and Hillsborough Street, and north.
Mm-hmm. What neighborhood did you live in?
What neighborhood?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I lived off of Glenwood Avenue. I mean, that was one place not too far from here.
Mm-hmm.
We lived on Glenwood Avenue for just about 2 years before we came over here.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this, our neighbor down the house built this house.
How long have you been in this house?
I would say 'm bad on dates, and about thinking about it, I decided a long time ago I was never going to live in the past, because I'm here today and there's a future out there. I'd say at least 65 years.
Wow. Do you... is that how you look at things?
Sure.
Is that how you look at things? You don't look back at the old days.
Don't
with,
do what?
You don't look back at the old days with nostalgia.
Don't look after the.
The you're not very nostalgic for the old days. You don't miss the old days.
Don't miss the old days.
Yeah, you don't, or do you?
Well, the old days were good. I think God planned it that way, that even though we didn't have a lot of things, we had a good life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never thought anything, but we're just here, and I've heard so often, especially one time, George was talking to the neighbor, and he said, I guess we should know what the hereafter holds for us, but he said I don't know what the future has in store, but I do know that it pays the good life while you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that lives with me. I know that whatever sometimes my neighbors say, they worry about what's going on in the other countries and everything, and about the starving and everything, and I says, well, you know, try to think about, we've got that right at our doorsteps now, and we can do whatever we can here with whatever we can do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the way we've always lived, at whatever situation we're in, why, do the very best you can about it, and of course, whatever happens, which we know that lots of things happen to people, but it always comes back to me, well, I must do the best I can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. You said your husband went to World War One.
Yes, why?
Your husband went to World War One. You said your husband was in World War One.
In World War One.
Did you hear stories from him about the war?
Did what?
Could you keep up with him during the war?
He wrote to me every day, and of course, I didn't hear from him all the time, But I think he had an accumulation of letters that he never was able to read. But I did do that.
And what kind of things would you write him every day?
Well, I'd tell him what I'd been doing, and I.
You were still on the farm then.
No.
You were.
No, at about 18 years old. Now, of course, there were no colleges around or anything, and my oldest sisters, they got first grade certificates and never went to college. And Maggie taught in a one-room schoolhouse, and I don't remember Willie ever teaching, but she probably did. But anyway, it was a nice little story about my schooling. I think we could go to school there when we were 6 years old, but it was 2 miles to go, and it was a long ways for me to walk. And so my sister made a little schoolhouse. My oldest sister made a little schoolhouse out of the buggy shed, and she taught me. So when I went to school, it was a two-room schoolhouse, and I got in the big room, and there were all different grades in there, and even to big, looked like men to me. Uh-huh. And I came home that night with an eighth grade school book. And it had definitions to it. And that night when I get to study and listen, I thought, that looks mighty hard for me to have to remember that. But I studied mighty hard on it, and I managed it.
How little were you then? How old were you?
I was 8 years old.
And she gave you an eighth grade book? Wow. What sister made the school in the buggy shed? Which sister made the school in the buggy shed?
Maggie.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. She was next to the oldest.
So Maggie and Lucy? Did you say Lucy? Maggie and
Willie
went became teachers?
Yes, they did. Now, Maggie came here to summer school. Mm-hmm. And I think Willie went to Graham to summer school one session. I don't know what they did to get that certificate, but I marveled at it later when I think about that they never went to college and did teach school.
And did you go all the way through high school?
No. See, we didn't have a high school. My schooling was grade school. After so long, they built a nice little schoolhouse up in the village or something. Now, the two-room schoolhouse was kind of down on the river. Mm-hmm. And so that was my education, was the grammar school.
And that went through 6th grade, 8th grade?
Went to at least 8th grade.
8th grade. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And what did you do after that? Did you help your mom or?
Well, no. My brother-in-law owned a general store, and in that store we had the post office, and he was the postmaster, and I was the postmistress.
And where was that?
In Swepsonville.
Oh, okay.
Swepsonville.
Okay.
And so that's where I was when I was working there when I met George for the first time, although we lived in the country just about 3 miles apart.
Really?
See, there was no way of traveling or anything.
Right.
And we had there's a funny little story about Maggie and me. Uh-huh. She had been came to Raleigh for this session of summer school, and she got a pretty hat, a straw hat. I can see that. It was, had a little wide brim straw hat, and we had always had long hair. I don't know if anybody in our family. I believe Bertha did at one time, but anyway, most of us just always had long hair. So when Maggie was here, she got that new hat, and she got some pretty bone hairpins. And when we went to visit one of the neighbors, and they were driving a horse and buggy, and ours was just a little one horse. Some people could afford a buggy top, but we never did have a top buggy. Mm-hmm. We always had the plane. So we went visiting. It's about a mile from home, and a lot of other people were visiting in that same home that we were, and they left just a little bit before we did. So when we started behind them, before they, well, anyway, we left a little bit later, and our house ran away with us. And I looked up, and I saw that hat of Maggie's. It had a hat in it, and that hat was standing straight up, and I said, Lord, never do to lose all those hairpins. Those pretty bone hairpins. Uh-huh. So I reached up one by one and got the hairpins, horse just fine, and then I looked, and there's Maggie's hair about a mile out from her head, just flying in the air. So yeah, our house was built, the straight road would go right through our house, but it turned there around, went around the uh-huh. house, so the horse just kept on going straight, so it got there, there was a gate, so it couldn't, so that's when the horse stopped.
He stopped.
But that's the story of
So you were born in 92. So you probably went to you started working in Swepsonville in
when I was 18.
That would have been 1910.
Yeah, I'll let you tell
about, me. About 1910. And then how did you meet George?
He came to work there at this store that I was in, where the post office was in.
Oh, okay. What did he do there? He was...
Well, he did everything. I mean, uh-huh. he waited on customers, and then he did the delivering of the heavy things. It had... The only thing we delivered were things that people like a... they'd have maybe a 50-pound bag of flour or something mm-hmm. like that.
And this was like the company store that the mill owned?
It started off as a company store down on the river, and then my brother-in-law finally owned it. And that's when I started working with him.
And when you say the river, you mean... When you say the river, you mean...
Well, it was Hall River.
The Hall River.
It was Hall River, and they used that... Uncle Jim and Uncle George, they were two colored men that were real dependable people, and they would take the boat and they, whatever, did some. I don't remember whether it was cotton or what it was, but anyway, they were the ones, they would take things to Graham, and uh-huh. they did that by boat.
Wow. From the mill, or from the store, or from the
mill?
Well,
yeah, they were, I don't remember who paid those people, mm-hmm. but...
No matter.
Mm-hmm. And, they were.
And did you still live at home when you were...
Well, no, I lived with my sister.
And in Swepsonville?
Yeah.
And why was she there? Was she...
Well, why was my sister there? Mm-hmm. Well, she's married to my brother-in-law. I mean, they live there.
Oh, okay.
They live there, oh. and I stayed in their home, and we had a habit. I would pay $6-$8 a month, mm-hmm. and my brother-in-law would pay $8 a month. Mm-hmm. And then whatever... But that was to buy the groceries with. Mm-hmm. We put that in to buy the groceries. Mm-hmm. It seems funny to think about him doing that, but that was just a little fun thing we had. Uh-huh. And whatever was left over, then that was Maggie's, uh-huh. his wife.
And was it a big change for you to come from the country to live in Swepsonville?
Well, it was, but I had visited here before. I had a cousin that lived here. Uh-huh. And I had visited here, and of course it was a big change. But even though it was a little mill town, it was a beautiful little town, and it still is today. And I remember, you know, during the war, people were just dying with the flu.
Oh, right.
They had no antibiotics or anything, whatever. And so my sister, Maggie, would make a big pot of vegetable soup and put it in quart cans. And we wouldn't dare go in the homes, and I'd take it to the window or the door, and people would get it. But Miss Baker now, this rich lady from Raleigh, would when she would be up there, she called it her skillet. I reckon I'd have called it a frying pan. She took her skillet, she said, and her milk and eggs, and she went in those homes, those mill homes, and made omelets for those people.
Wow. But,
so that was...
Did she get sick?
No, never did.
She never did. Did y'all get the flu?
Yes, what?
Did y'all get the flu? Did y'all get sick?
I even had the flu then. Yeah, a lot of people, there was a great epidemic of influenza at that time, and no antibiotics, so some people, we did have this. And in this, at that time, people made, they called them shrouds when people died, and we had to keep, that was one of my tasks in this general store. These people would come, they called them drummers, and they would come with their goods, and it was my privilege to select. We didn't have an awful lot of dry goods, but we did have some. And I would select that and the laces and things.
To make the shrouds.
And we kept gray China silks for the older people and little white China silk for the babies that died. And, of course, there was only one telephone in the village. And, of course, my brother-in-law, it wasn't in their home. It was in the store, in the general store. So he'd have to get up lots of times in the middle of the night and go and telephone. And the doctor was 5 miles away.
Wow.
But...
And the shrouds, did you just sell the lace?
Did what?
Did you sell the lace to people to make the shrouds, or did y'all actually make the shrouds?
They made it themselves.
They made it themselves. You just
and
sold
they come
the lace.
By the material.
And they put the shroud over the person's face in the coffin.
No, it was just like a dress.
Oh, okay.
It was just they made dresses.
And it's what you buried the person in the shroud.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was just a dress made out of that gray China silk, and then the baby's out of the little white. Mm.
Did you have the flu bad?
Have to do that.
When you got the flu, was it bad or were you,
was it bad?
Was it a bad case that you had? Did you get very sick?
Well, I was for a little while, I'm sure. I remember so well, I had a roommate that was sick, that had the flu before I did. Mm-hmm. We used to have little, pretty little lace-like caps that we wore sometimes. So I remember so well how we both worked at the same place. Mm-hmm. Before I'd leave to go to work, I would see that she had that little cap on and her was all powdered up and everything, and she'd look so comfortable. And later on then, when I've had the flu, I said, Annie, why didn't you tell me you was hurting and let me rub your back or do something? I was just trying to make you pretty. I never realized that you was having so much pain. Mm-hmm. But... Anyway, this little, I tell them I could write a story on Swepsonville. Mm-hmm. The Bakers really were just wonderful to the people and to us, too. Uncle Dave would drive them from Raleigh. That was their drive. With had two pretty horses, And he'd come out home and get milk and butter. And Ms. Baker, we had a store in Raleigh then, was called Toyland, and they had all kind of pretty china. Mm-hmm. And so she gave Mother a pretty set of china with little blue forget-me-nots. I remember mm-hmm. how pretty that was. I think my younger sister has that now. Mm-hmm. And every Christmas, everybody in that village had a basket with a ham or a turkey, and everything in the, from the bakers were mighty good to the people. And of course, at first they had no electricity, but then they finally did get power and heaven and had it. And that little village is still there, a nice little village.
It still is.
And I had a nephew that we were so proud of. He served time in the war, but he had never married. And when he served time in the service, and when he came home, that was after his father died, while they moved down into one of the homes that had been built for the teachers. They called it a teacher's, and Lucille's husband had built that, and so he and his mother came there to live. So they went to this little church in Swepsonville. There were only two churches, Methodist Church and a Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. And so when he died not too long ago, his mother had gone, and Lucille and I reckon were the only ones that meant anything, much to him anything, but still he had said to one of the nephews that he lived nearby, that was Lucille's husband, he decided one day that he'd go up to this, says, I think it's about time I was going up to this nursing home. And when the nephew called me, we've always been so used to writing mm-hmm. that I wondered what had happened, you know. And he said, well, not anything. When I asked him, he said, well, not anything terrible, but he said Linwood said he thought maybe it might be time for him to go to that nursing home that had been built there. That was up in the, now that's where the governors came from, you know, as Alamance.
Yeah.
And that was up in the Hallfield neighborhood. And so he had never complained of being sick, and he mm-hmm. was nice and mm-hmm. didn't even look sick at all, but he did have cancer, but he did go to that little home. And mm-hmm. then of course, in his will, he left that little family that had been, they were the ones that were sort of close to him. That was his cousin, of course. So he left his estate then to that little church in Swepsonville.
Oh, that was nice.
And they were so proud of that because they'd never had, and we've thought that was such a nice thing mm-hmm. for him to do.
That's a very sweet thing.
And just about a year ago then, they had they took that money and they built a beautiful fellowship hall.
Wow.
And they were so proud of that, and it was pretty. We went to that, and they had a nice day, and they had his portrait. Somebody had painted that, and mm-hmm. so they named that the Linwood Long Fellowship Hall.
Oh, that's nice.
And some of the people were that had known me when they were about 4 years old, I reckon. They were getting to be way up in their 80s, and they were helping with their refreshments and everything.
That sounds great.
And they had such a nice day. Everybody had, they first had in the sanctuary, and everybody could say whatever they wanted to. And
did you recognize any of them?
Is what?
Did you recognize any of those young people?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And some of them, of course, those that were 4 years old did, too, you know, because they come speaking to me. I wouldn't have had they not
right.
sort of helped me at that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, but anyway, they wanted, Dillard was one of my nephews, he was just a special person, but he'd almost murder the English language sometime, you know, and when the preacher told him that he wanted him to be the one that had the nice things to say about Dillard, but everybody had the privilege of doing it, but Dillard was to be the special one. Mm-hmm. He says, "Preacher, I ain't never done nothing like that." So he told him, he said, "Now, Dillard, if you get shaky, just feel over that chair," and that says, "I'll come to your rescue."
Rescue. That's great.
So his wife told him the night before, says, "Well, Dillard, why don't you practice before Brian and me?" He said, "No, I'm not going to do that." We had a lot of fun out of that. Yeah. But he was a great person, and he still is.
What else do you remember about Swepsonville?
Oh, there's just too much to tell.
I'm interested in it all.
Well, we lost one of the... We were busy all day long. We had to be putting up the talking this thing, but anyway, my friend Annie, especially, of course she's passed on now, but we were friends forever, and we always had such good times together. But I have a habit of laughing when anybody falls or anything, you know, but she's always could be so nice and solemn. Mm-hmm. But anyway, one man came in from the country and he wanted to see Mr. Charlie because he had some molasses he wanted to sell. And I was on one side of the store and my friend Annie was